It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. And let me remind you that it is a good life knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you do know Him, you need to be serving Him today. You need to be letting other people know what a great Savior He is. Now, we've been studying through the book of John, and we're in chapter 4 right now. And we left off with verse 45 and 46, and we want to look at this. John chapter 4 and verse 45 says, "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." Now, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, and we understand in this verse that these people, they received him as a messenger of God. They had seen his miracles, and they believed on him. Many got saved as a result of him going to the feast at Jerusalem. And if we go to John chapter 2 and verse 23, we see it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover," this evidently is what the verse is speaking of in John chapter 4, "when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did." Now, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16, we'll see in verse 16 where it says, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." In other words, they were to bring offerings to the Lord, and once again, signifying that they had respect. They worshiped God, and they would come there three times a year to worship the Lord. And once again, this was in honor of the Lord. That's a means of uplifting, bringing honor to our Lord, our God, God the Father. And of course, Jesus is God. And they were honoring Jesus as well. They may not have, you know, some of them didn't even realize what they were doing, but they were also honoring the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now notice, if you would here, in verse 46 of John chapter 4, it says, "So Jesus came again into Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." I remember now, we read this in John chapter 4, how that Jesus had turned the water into wine, and I've made mention of that before. You see in John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." And then in verse 11, it says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Well, he's back in Galilee now, in Cana of Galilee, and this is where the first miracle that our Lord performed took place. And no doubt there were certain individuals who had been witness to this miracle. And I remind you once again that what Jesus did, he did not turn this water into a drink that would get people drunk. This was grape juice. And I remind you once again that God says you're not to look upon the wine when it moveth aright. That means when it's fermented. And God will never go against his word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is God. He would never contradict what is in his written word. And the written word says, don't even look on it. So that tells me that Jesus did not turn the water into a fermented beverage, if you would. I call it more than a beverage. It's when we think of fermentation, we think of leaven, and leaven is not good. Leaven is something that causes fermentation, and Jesus would never cause this juice to be fermented. Now, It says there that there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. This is in verse 46. And verse 47 says, "And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die." Here's a man that's begging the Lord to come down and to heal his son. And this man evidently realized that Jesus was able to perform miracles. And verse 50 says, "Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth." This man evidently had enough faith to believe that Jesus could heal his son. I would to God that today more people would understand that Jesus can heal the soul. Jesus is the one who can take a sin-sick soul and make that soul fit for heaven. Each of us need Jesus Christ as Savior. And I thank God there was a time when I received Him as my Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, you need to ask Him to come into your heart even right now before it's too late. If you know Him as your Savior, you need to be serving Him today, doing His will, doing what He would have you to do. You know, oftentimes I make mention about someone going out on visitation and going to the lost people of this world. And many times I would say that we need to be giving out the plan of salvation. But you know, there are certain individuals who cannot go. There are certain individuals who simply cannot go out and, let's say, knock on a door and lead someone to the Lord. Maybe they can't even go to the store. Maybe they're homebound. Maybe that's you. Maybe I'm speaking to you today. And I would say, do not get discouraged because you can't go out, because you see, you also have a ministry. That ministry that you have as a saved person, or at least I would pray that you have this ministry, that ministry is prayer. You can pray for those who go out, that God would give them a safe journey, that God would protect them, that God would take care of them, and most of all, pray for souls to be saved. You have a ministry. You can't get out of the house, you can't go anywhere, then you can pray. You can tell Jesus that you want to see people saved and you thank Him for saving souls. And when you pray, pray believing. Pray that the Holy Spirit is going to deal with the heart of that individual, that person who's going out on visitation, those people who are going out, that the people who they've witnessed to will listen. And, you know, God does not force anyone to get saved, but we need to pray for souls. Pray that God would save individuals as workers go forth sharing the Word of God. Well, in John chapter 4 and verse 50, Jesus said unto this nobleman, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, that's faith. This man had faith enough believing that Jesus had healed his son. Even though Jesus had not touched him, Jesus was not in the boy's presence, but Jesus said he's healed, and the man believed him. Well, verse 51 says, "And as he was now going down, his servant," this is the nobleman's servant now, "met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth." Well, this nobleman evidently was a very important person. And he was a nobleman, evidently, of the royal family. He evidently was connected by birth with someone who was very important. And some people believe that he was connected to Herod Antipas, and or one of the officers of the court. In other words, he was a very important person. He believed God. He believed Jesus Christ had healed his son. And it says the servants came and told him. Once again, he was so important that he had servants. Well, they told him, "Thy son liveth." Well, then the nobleman, according to verse 52, inquired he asked them the hour when he began to amend, when his son was starting to get better. They said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Well, The Father knew something, and verse 53 tells us. It says, so the Father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And then notice what happened in this verse, in verse 53. And himself believed, and his whole house. Jesus said, your son lives. Well, the man, as he was going home, his servants came and said, your son's alive. Your son is good. He's healed. And then the man himself got saved. Well, not only did he get saved, but it tells us in verse 53 that his whole house got saved. They got saved because of the love of Christ. Jesus loves people. Jesus loved this man so much. He saw the faith in this man that he was able to reach him and tell him, your son lives. And how could he say that? Well, Jesus could say that because he's God. Jesus is the creator of everything. Jesus knew everything. Jesus knows everything. And by the way, he's with the Father right now in heaven. The Bible teaches us that he's at the right hand of God right now. And not only is he there with him, but the Bible tells us that we have the Spirit of God within us. The Bible says that if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. But we are his because we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we have the Spirit of God within us right now, the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus is in heaven. He's not just sitting around. When we pray, the Bible tells us that we have an advocate in heaven. And that advocate is Jesus Christ. He's there making intercession for us as saved people right now. The devil wants to condemn us to hell, but Jesus steps forward and says, don't touch them because they've trusted me as their Lord and Savior. I died for them. Don't you touch them. You can't lay anything to their charge because I have cleansed them. I have taken away the sin that is present there, past, present, and future. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. And I believe, now this is just my conjecture here, I would believe that Jesus Christ would say, get thee behind me, Satan. These people are mine. These are my children. These are my brothers and sisters. And don't you lay a hand upon them. You can't touch them because I've saved them and I will see them personally one day. Well, it's so good to be able to understand that when we get saved that we have an advocate with the Father. He hears our prayers. And he answers prayers. When you pray, faith believing that he's going to answer those prayers. Now in John chapter 4 and verse 54, we end this chapter. And it says this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now remember, the first miracle that he performed was in this same city of Cana. It was just after his baptism. And it was the turning of the water into the juice. And this was, once again, when he got baptized of John, he didn't do that to get saved. You can't, Jesus Christ was never lost. He's God. He got baptized as God sanctioning upon him that his ministry was beginning. And the first miracle that he did, of course, was in Cana, and the second was in Cana as well. If you don't know him today as your Savior, you need to do as the nobleman did. You need to believe him. You need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. Ask him to come into your heart. He'll save you if you'll trust him, believing that he is the Savior, he is God, and he's able to take you to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.